Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, these readings for this 23rd Sunday of Pentecost are kind of depressing. They have a lot of harsh terms of vengeance, and they certainly are not easy and comfortable ones. Rightly so, they don't really differentiate between what went on then, between what went on now. Things like nations rising against nations, destructions, perplexities happen every day in our world. Just turn to any news channel on the television. So these readings, though, believe it or not, they do have promise and comfort in them. In particular, the Malachi passage is one I really like, and it's because of that phrase, the Son of Righteousness will come with healing in his wings. This term of son, you know, everything. There is nothing new under the sun, the writer of Ecclesiastes speaks. Very true. There is nothing new under the sun. What that makes me think of, though, is I'm a music guy. I like music. And it reminds me of a song. I don't play well guitar, but I can play a little bit. And this was one of the first songs I learned. And just to advise you, it's not in the Lutheran service book. It's not at one of our hymns. But it's actually a song from the 1960s. It's an old miner's tune, a bluesy tune. And it's called The House of the Rising Sun. I can't help but think of it when I read this Malachi verse. If you've heard of it, you'll probably be humming it for the rest of the day. If not, you can YouTube it. But it is a view from living a life of degradation, a son or daughter whose father had become a gambler and drunkard, but that parent urges their children to avoid having the same fate. Here's a couple of the lines. There is a house in New Orleans, they call it the Rising Sun, and it's been the ruin of many a poor boy, and God, I know I'm one. Oh, mother, tell your children not to do what I have done. Spend your lives in sin and misery in the house of the Rising Sun. Likewise, Jesus in Luke 21 is giving a similar kind of message, not to go escape to that type of house. For he says, the time is at hand. Do not go after them. Well, after who, Jesus? After the things that bring strife and disorder, the things that take away the place of the name, the great I am, that cause ruin, that cause you to roam away. These are bluesy things. These are things of escape that we might oftentimes want to escape to when we hear of depressing terms and depressing events, world events in our lives. Those things, they do, rightly so, you probably admit to, bring fear. How about loneliness, discontent? And in those things, we then have to ask ourselves, where is the adoration of our affection towards objects, right? Well, these followers of Jesus say, Jesus, look at the temple. Isn't it a beautiful house, arrayed in noble stones and offerings? Jesus says, no, no, no. Do not be arrogant, for behold, a day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. What do you mean, stubble, Jesus? As for the things you see, the days will come when there will not be left one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. And the students say, wow, that would take a miracle. When will we see these things happen? Jesus, prepping them, the time is brought near. On and on, and then we hear that long passage of nations against nations, earthquakes, terrors, persecutions. And then how about that part where you will be given up by parents, brothers, relatives? You will be hated. This certainly does not sound like the place we want to live in. Well, dear church, we're hearing this message as we are now on the second to last Sunday of the church year. It's then fitting that these are end time things. And before we start the new year with the season of Advent, the advent of our King, we must be taken into this position of being shaken. For it is in this way we long for the resolve in the next chapter to come, which is really just a starting over from the beginning in order to get our heads right, focused, and fixed our hearts towards things so that we do not get caught up in them, get caught up in days of distress, get caught up in bluesy times. And in those bluesy times, we've experienced in the past, perhaps, where we've often even told or wanted to tell our children, do not get caught up in the same things I've done. You know, it's really a warning against the first commandment, the meaning of the first commandment. You should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Ask yourself, well, do you? And it's also the reason we have prayer. We have these petitions in the Lord's Prayer that we should be ever more prayerful of. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which means to break and hinder every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. Our Father, deliver us from evil. Yes, rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possessions, and reputation. And when our last hour comes, graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to yourself in heaven. It's hard to get that in our heads, that heaven and earth will pass away. But at the end of Luke chapter 21, Jesus will say that again, heaven and earth will pass away. But he also says, but my word will never pass away. He gives us a promise. He gives promises in times of perplexity. And he even says that not a hair on your head will perish. Yes, the power of heavens will be excited. Yes, the seas will become agitated. But these are to fulfill all things. Going back to that image of looking to the past, for me personally, I admit that I have so often looked to my past for choices I've made and why I do or do not have peace in the here and now. Maybe like you, I long for peace. I love serenity. I love to sit back in my chair at home and just listen to nothing, you know, to sit there and you know. So what happens, though, when I do that is I see, well, maybe I could have done this a different way. That's why I don't have enough peace in my life right now. If I only wouldn't have done such and such, then my peace would be so much better off right now. But we turn to our gospel. Jesus does not say, do you remember when? He simply says, remember, you're about to get redeemed. These are future things, not things of the past. These are things that we need to do an about face to, because they have no mark, no change in where we are at now. So Jesus is not talking about past things. He speaks of these future events. He foretells these fulfillment of the times, that through Jesus was the benefit of those who oftentimes look back on their past. And yet, the past still did not fix the problem. Jesus looks ahead. Jesus goes forward. He tells of forward things. And he's not a judge, and he brings down the gavel, but he is a giver of this watchfulness in the forward direction. He even says when these things take place, it still yet will not be the end. And why is that? You see, God respects time. He respects your time in history and would have you live it out just like he did. So these are forward-looking things. Jesus, he bestows on us whatever we need for the critical time. And that's why we read in 2 Thessalonians, the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And how does he do that? The end of the verse, to the steadfastness of Christ. That steadfastness increases our faith. The Son increases our faith. Because when these things happen, our faith will certainly need to be increased. But not by temples made with hands, and not with the clinic of self-help, but by the healing power of the Rock of Ages. That comforting power that speaks to the triggers, addictions, false hopes, where after we've experienced them, we're like, no, 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 don't do this. Don't spend your lives in sin and misery and false escapes like those of the bluesy house of the rising sun. Why? For there is a better house. There is a house of the rising sun, S-O-N, and that is his church. His church, where he spreads out his wings, covers us over with his words, his sacrament, where he turns the hearts of the Father to the hearts of the Son. That is the divine ray, the divine light of Christ. Scripture also tells us Take comfort, for no temptation has overtaken you that is common to man, but he will provide you a way of escape so that you will not go beyond your capability. So thank you, Jesus, for that way of escape. Thank you for being that house, the risen house that rises here and now, announces redemption over you. That is how we can straighten up and lift up our heads. Here in the house of the rising sun. This house is where he comes to us here and now in water, word, and sacrament, so that we can go out leaping like calves from the stall. This stall is the stable of the rising sun with healing in its wings. A little note of the Old Testament picture of those calves in the stable, in the stall. Well, for them, they were about to get sacrificed. They were the best of the best, the fatted calves in there, and they were locked down because they were about to get killed. And so in Malachi, the word of the Lord tells us, you will be like leaping calves out of the stall. So we are being freed. We are being released so that we do not die. This is salvation talk here, equating us to his little lambs. And what about the wings? The wings of righteousness, the wings of healing. Those wings are his very arms. His very arms for you that he outstretched on a cross, which shook the earth, literally. And he did it, as our Old Testament reading tells us, on the day I will act. Let me tell you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that day did come. It was there on Mount Calvary that God for you ended the power of sin, death, and the devil. And this house, the house of his righteous ones, made righteous by his coming, by his fulfilling all things, is here and now, where he rises, where he is present to you at his table, right in front of your eyes. That is his great glory, so that you may see the great day of the Lord. While, yes, we still live in the world, the sun rises in our world, day turns to night, night into day, we go to and from our houses, our world of calling, where sometimes it may seem we don't have very much light. But take heart. The light of his glory outshines the house of the world. Take that with you this week. Take it with you the rest of this church season as we approach the new season of Advent, the Advent of our King. This is none other than a transition mode, where we go from knowing the end from the beginning. We live, move, and abide and have our being and breathing in the Son of Righteousness with this healing in his wings, the meal that heals. We aren't removed from that true house. We are not removed in his house. We do not go down to the bluesy house. This is kind of like, I like to say, just like stepping out of a different room of his house, as if you go from the living room into the kitchen, where all gets repaired, a fellowship, a communion of the house of the rising sun. That dwelling does not create ruin. It newly creates. All the ashes of former days have been trodden underfoot. So put away your fear and fainting upon what is coming upon the world. Because even when the sun, earth, and stars overtake us, we have his word, we have a sacrament here, which I tell you, church, this is unending. The marriage feast of the supper of the Lamb is eternal. So one thing here in front of you will never end, right in front of you. That is where we take heart. We take heart in the house, the rising sun, the place where he created this comfort, so that when we step out into the world of fear, we know where restoration comes from. We know where grace, mercy, and peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, comes from. The place where your redemption draws nigh, so that we can lift up our heads and we can see the Son of Man coming in this house, the house of the rising sun. In the name of Jesus, amen.